Today I actually get to do this twice. Today I get to preach for the Baptist Church as well too, and actually I'm actually giving them a little bit of my life testimony, because a lot of them just see me running around the church and don't really know where I came from or what God is doing in my life or how God uses to transform. So this came to me this last month. I was thinking and praying, and I think about what we believe. And as a coach, being very inspirational helps out always my teams. I get them to believe that they're the best three-point shooters. They could take it to the basket any given time. And I get them to believe that they're the biggest monster on defense. But I got to make them believe. And sometimes they're not very good at it. But we use our power words to inspire them and to get them to believe it. Let me tell you a little story about a little duck that had no father. There was a little duck, and he had no father. And so one day, there was a setting, and there was a teacher and a couple students in the classroom. And the teacher said, "I'm going to tell you guys a story about a duck that had no father." And the little girl just popped up, and she was curious as heck and didn't realize what the teacher was saying. And so when the teacher finished the story, the teacher said, "Students, now, do you guys all understand that the duck has no father?" And the little girl says, "But everybody has a father." And so the teacher kept thinking, "Then why are you not listening to me? Is there something wrong? Why are you not paying attention?" And the teacher says, "Well, everybody has a father." And so the teacher tells her, "Well, let me explain this to you one more time. The little duck has no father." So they went on about this for about maybe 5 or 10 minutes, kind of going back and forth, arguing the point. And she finally simmers down to the little girl and says, "Look here, teacher. I got to be honest with you. I'm a Christian, and everybody has a father." You see, God is creation, and He is our Father. When we believe, believe is a verb. It means to accept something as true or feel sure of. Or the truth of that, my friends, Jesus is the truth. And when I think about creations, I was in my backyard the other day, and I was actually towards the end of the night, Michael Connor, me and him were talking about creation. He was talking about the gases of, you know, all this evolution stuff, all this stuff that was going on, the percentage of all the mixtures of gases in the air, you know, the landscape of the mountains, of the oceans, and it's kind of interesting. It's pretty awesome how God created all this and orchestrated this and put this all together in His plan of perfection. He gave us this, and we were very undeserving. We don't even deserve what we have today, and sometimes we take it for granted. But here is God, the creator of the universe, that believes in us, that we may believe in Him. Jesus came to this earth. His ministry time was 3 years. And I'm pretty sure, as a kid, it didn't stop Him from ministering anywhere. The Bible doesn't tell us that completely, but if you think about the Bible, it tells you that Jesus he hung out with the leaders. He hung out with the people that taught. You know, he taught with, that's what He wanted to learn. He was like a sponge. He observed everything because He believed. He had to make a difference. And this is ways that I could tell you how Jesus came. We believe today that Jesus came to show us love, and to love us. Love is an action. I could honestly tell you that there is no one that has shown the true depth of love more than Jesus himself. He set the examples for believers to show love to one another and to show love to the world by what he did for us. Let me ask you something today. Have you ever just spent time reflecting on the love of Jesus Christ? It's pretty fascinating to think how there is nothing in this world, or not in this world, that can't separate us from his love. Jesus was a man of miracles. He was a man of faith. Jesus showed us love by feeding the hungry. It says in Matthew 15:32, Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." That is one of the greatest miracles ever performed. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 3 fish and fed thousands and thousands of people. And yet, I'm a man of little faith, because Sunday after church, most of those kids that sit over there, they come to my house for breakfast. And I'm always like, how are we going to do this? But Jesus came to feed. See, these people in this scripture, they had gone 3 days without food, and they were just listening to the precious word of Jesus. And today, Jesus is still feeding. He's feeding this world in love. He's feeding this world in compassion. He's feeding this world through the teachings of his word. Jesus preached to the people. He preached to the kingdom in love. When Jesus saw a large crowd, he had compassion because they were like sheep without shepherds. So he began teaching them many things in Mark 6:34. These disciples, they longed for Jesus to set up his kingdom. And in spite of the attacks that Jesus had from Satan, he had from the world, he had from his own flesh, just like we do. The kingdom of God, it continues to advance. And guess what, my friends? The kingdom of God is love. And he keeps breaking down those gates of hell. Jesus gave his life for the world in love. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Believe this. There is nothing in this world that we can worship today that can stand up to what Jesus did that day. He stepped down from the thrones. He stepped down from the heavens to live among sinful people. He gave his life so that not you, not me, not no one would have to spend their eternity without Jesus. The love of God, it expands time. It expands eternity because of one sacrifice the sacrifice of Jesus. And I got to be honest with you guys. We will never, never fully understand how much God loved us through Jesus. But we can receive his love forever. See, I talked about love being an action. The love of God is greater and deeper than anybody could ever fathom. Yet, we can't understand our own unworthiness, and sometimes we don't receive the grace that is given to the ones that believe. Jesus showed his love, and he shows his love to us every single day, every second, every moment. This is something that we believe. We believe that Jesus came to be served. We believe that Jesus wants us to serve. We believe that Jesus is a servant. Have you ever just sat back and actually just thought about Jesus as a servant? There's many people in this church that serve. But here's a man that created it all. And he's no better than any single one of us. And he serves. See, Jesus laid aside his majesty to come to earth and to show us his love. There is no doubt that when Christ came to earth, he revealed that he was a skillful leader. However, he also showed us how to be a servant. He said this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." And that's in John 15, 12, 13. These are the words of a faithful servant. Jesus' life, his life and death on that cross are true examples. Of being a committed servant. He gave it all. There are several passages in the Bible that show Jesus being a servant himself. He was a servant in love. He was a servant in his actions. But most of all, Jesus had a servant's attitude. I think about John chapter 13, where Jesus humbled himself and he washed the feet of his disciples. It says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around him. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then the Lord, Simon Peter, replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean. Though not every one of you, for he knew was going to betray him." And that's why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When Jesus finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He says, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher. You call me Lord. And rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I am your Lord, I am your teacher. Have you washed your feet? You should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And the honest truth, many of us, we don't really accept the idea of becoming a servant. You see, Simon Peter had a difficult time allowing Jesus to wash his feet. This action of washing feet was the role of a servant. But that day, Jesus made it clear to Simon that this was going to be the main principle, the main foundation that he is teaching, that he has taught to all his disciples. And I think about Mark. Jesus says it best in Mark. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." Mark 10:45. This, my friends, we believe that Jesus wants us to serve. Jesus wants us to make an impact. Let me ask you something. Have you ever thought about why? And that's all capital letters, W-H-Y. Why Jesus is the most influential person in history? The simple fact that Jesus did more to change the course of the world, the course of history, than any other person in mankind ever. And that's pretty incredible to say that about a guy who was an uneducated laborer, lived in the backwater country, and was part of ancient Rome. Makes me wonder. Jesus didn't have any social media sites. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Instagram. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have emails. He had no other way of communication. And yet, today, 2,000 years later, there's over 2 billion people identifying Jesus in one way or another. Have you ever wondered why Jesus has such a lasting impact? He had a lasting impact because Jesus didn't take no shortcuts. Jesus didn't take any shortcuts. He knew the Father's plan, and he stuck to it. Even when there was opportunity to get it done faster, he stuck to that plan. And all this time in his ministry, there's people that wanted to make Jesus king. There was temptation. There was temptation in the wilderness. Jesus is no different than you and I. Because Satan attacked Jesus. And let's be honest. Jesus could have gone. He could have gone the easy way out. But he decided to go with the original plan. I mean, have you ever just thought about why Jesus turned down these tempting offers? This Bible, it completely says that Jesus knew the joy and he knew what was waiting for him. And he paid the price in full. Most people, they will go to extreme measures and they will try all kinds of shortcuts to see if they could get the payoff without the price. Jesus knew that things gained by shortcuts, they don't last. He chose the more sure path. Jesus stood apart. Why does Jesus stand apart? What Jesus taught was so radical. It was different than anything else that he was killed for it. Even so, that's still probably not enough to hugely impact humanity. Thousands of people have radical ideas. You and I have crazy ideas sometimes. But do we live out our lives and die for it? And sometimes our ideas go without even being noticed. There is one significant difference about Jesus that sets him apart from any other teacher, any other preacher, or any other religious figure in history. Are you ready? Jesus didn't stay dead. The tomb of Jesus is empty. And that is why Jesus totally changed history. See, my friends, I always was taught to encourage, not discourage. As humans, we have that nature that we falter in that situation sometimes. But our lives are made to be different. Jesus created us. It says in Genesis 1:2, in the beginning, God created you and I. God created you and I to be examples of love, to be examples of a servant, and to make an impact in this world. We're called to be different. We're called to be different in our homes, amongst our friends, in our workplaces. The light shines here. I could promise you this, that Jesus died on that cross for you and I. Because that's what a father does for his son. I know me speaking, if any of my kids ever needed me to get up on that cross without a hesitation. And that, my friends, is what Jesus did that day. To make sure that we made a difference. That we are set apart. I know sometimes we think that church is just a Sunday thing. But church is a lifestyle. It's a commitment. Let us go out and be that light. Let us love one another. Let us serve. And most of all, let us impact and make a difference in this world because we believe. Father, Lord, I just want to give you thanks, Lord, today. I want to give you thanks for the creation. I want to give you thanks today for all that you have done for us, Lord. Forgiving us the oceans. Forgiving us life, Lord. Forgiving us the mountains. Forgiving us love for one another, Father, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to touch every single one of us, Lord, in a place that we've never been touched, Lord. To teach us to decrease so that you may increase, Father. For you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Lord. You are the masterpiece, Lord. And we're just your humble servants, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, to be more like you. Every single day has a different challenge, Lord. We walk in the air that you breathe, Father, Lord. We give you thanks, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.